Good job. That's right, Brother Kane. Psalm 100. If you have your Bible, turn with me there, if you will. Very familiar psalm, and they'll get me adjusted there in a minute if I'm too loud out there. And they'll make it right. If you found Psalm 100, an easy psalm to find, ain't it? We've read it before, we know it. But I wanted to share this in your presence tonight simply because of what it says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And the Bible says, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth forever. His truth endureth to all generations. The reason I said forever is because when you turn to Psalm 107 and you open up Psalm 107, it too is a reflection of giving thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. If you go back into the scripture, into Psalm 92, the Bible says there, when you open Psalm 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto God, or unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 107, when we look at it in verse number 21, the Bible said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. When you begin to look throughout the scripture, there is a variety of scriptures that encourage us that we are to give thanks. When you look over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18, in the New Testament, it is a reminder to all of us where it says that in everything give thanks. And in everything that we do, we are to give God the glory and give God the praise. Again, the Bible reminds me in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. When you begin to open up those verses of Scripture there in the book of Romans, it is a reminder to you and I this evening of how that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Verse number 2 is a reminder of us again to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and be not conformed to this world. But then he says in the latter part of this, and to prove that that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody said, well, when is it the right time to praise the Lord? When is it the right time to give thanks unto God? Several verses of scripture come to my mind, and you know these scriptures. The Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, that the name of the Lord is to be praised. Another scripture that comes to my mind where the Bible says in the latter part of the book of Psalms, without turning there, he reminds us, and it's a reflection upon our praise unto God. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, where the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I began to look over this particular psalm, and the first thing I begin to think about, I've already read the scripture to you, but there's several reasons that we need to praise God. The Bible teaches us that and why we should be thankful unto God. And one of the things that we think about this evening is, why should we be thankful unto Him? The song says, He's a good, good Father. God has been so good to you and so good to me. It is a reflection when we begin to read this psalm again in Psalm 107. It is a reflection of the psalmist because he says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Jason Crabb years ago came out with the song, and he said in this song, Ain't nobody can do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody going to do me like Him. And I began to think about that as in praising God and glorifying God and magnifying God. And the Bible reminds us in Psalm 100 in verse number 1. This psalm was a psalm according to commentary. It was a psalm of gladsome praise. It was a psalm that led people to praise God. It was a psalm that led people to glorify God and to magnify the name of the Lord. As they would go into the temple and they would sing this particular psalm, it was reminding us to make a joyful noise, if you will. We think about a noise as something that don't make sense. But the Bible says that the hills and the trees, they clap their hands unto the Lord, if you will. In the commentary, when it talked about making a gladsome noise, if you will, or a glad noise, a joyful noise, it meant that it was a joyful shout, a glad shout. I was glad, David said, when they said unto me, Let us go up into the house of the Lord. When we think about God, and it drives us to our praise, and it drives us to a heart of thanksgiving. It is a time that we give God a glorious and a gladsome shout, if you will. So we think about shouting unto God, and we think about the simple fact that, again, why we should praise God, or why we should be thankful unto God this evening. Not only when we think about it, as we think about how that God has been good to us. Has God been good to you? Say amen. Second thing we think about this evening is why we need to give thanksgiving unto God. It's simply this. Because not only does the Bible say that, but yet we can see that it honors God and it gives God glory and it brings praises unto His name. Several psalms actually mentions this, and we can tie the pieces together, if you will. Psalm 50 and 20, actually Psalm 50 and 14, I believe it is. And the Bible says, Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Verse 15 says, And call upon me in the day of my trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. When we think about this, when we glorify God, it honors God. There's nobody that I know, and again, I'm gonna meddle just a little bit here, that gets down in the mully grubs and the ho-hums, if you will. Somebody says, well, you can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. And I understand that. I understand that well. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When it comes to loving God and honoring God, you and I, as this psalm says, as you look at it, God says, make a joyful noise unto Him. In verse number 1, the Bible says, all ye lands, let everything that we do praise God. And then we see this. And I got ahead of myself just a little bit. Again, in Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, you can go back there and look at that in your time. Verse number 2, he opened verse number 2 of this Psalm 100, and this is what he says. He says, Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Gladness, if you will. Gladness is mentioned a couple of different times in this particular psalm. We see that this gladness, if you will, it makes reference, and you don't have to turn there, I'm only going to make reference to it, to two places. It makes a reference in Psalm 45, 7 and 8. And it also makes reference in Hebrews 1, 6 through 9. It's the same set of scriptures. It makes reference to God where he says, he anoints me with the oil of gladness. Amen. In the day and the hour that you and I are living in. Now, you got to get real with me. Amen. Have you ever seen so many down and out Christians in all of your life? Come on, somebody. We ought to be the oil and the salt of the earth, if you will. And Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And you and I will be the only hope that this world ever has because God has arranged it that way. And we see this in the scripture. And he says, serve the Lord. Don't let it be drudgery. Again, serve the Lord with gladness. Be thankful unto him. Thank God that you can get out of bed in the morning. Amen. Thank God that you can celebrate him. Thank God today that you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and with his power today. And then he says, come before him with singing. First thing was, God's been good to us. Second thing, we give God thanks for because thanksgiving honors God. It honors him. The third thing is we need to do this simply because we need to give God thanks because it keeps our own heart in check. It lets us take a self-inventory. The Bible reminds us, and I'm going to go way back in the book of Psalms for this one. I'm going to talk about the Psalms a lot today. Psalm 9 and 1, this is what he says. I will praise thee, O Lord, with half of my heart. I will show forth all thy works. It's not what he says. He says, and this is what he says in a nutshell. God, I'm gonna praise you with everything I got. I'm gonna glorify you with everything that's within me. I'm going to celebrate you with everything that's within me. Now you don't need to get mad at the preacher tonight, okay? I've got a croupy voice this evening, and it's been a long day. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm really going to be honest with you. Is it okay if I'm really honest with you? If we really love God the way we say we love God, we ought to be pulling the paint off the walls in this place. We ought to be shouting. We ought to be glorifying God. We ought to be the happiest people in all the earth. But we're not. We sit most of the time just in a state of numbness. Come on, somebody. We do. We sit in a state of numbness, like, hurry up, preacher, and get done. Hurry up. I got something to do. When you get done, I'm tired, you're tired. Let's just button it up and get on out of here. But my friend, if we would really think about what God has done for us, we would lift our praises unto him. We would glorify him. Our hearts would be glad. We would be anointed with the oil of gladness. Somebody says, well, it's God's fault. It ain't God's fault. Amen. God created you and God made you. And God made you and given you and I the opportunity right now to glorify him and to magnify him. And I believe this, it can become contagious. It can become contagious. Again, when he says here in the word in Psalm, again, 9 and 1, you see this in the scripture. And when we give thanks, it keeps our own heart in check. And we ask ourselves, are we really grateful? Are we really in our heart grateful? Again, when you read this, he says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth, I will be a testimony of all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing to thy name, O thee most high, thou most high. So God says in the word, David is psalm. It's considered David being the writer of this psalm. Serve the Lord with gladness. Don't let it be a drudgery. Don't let it be hard to serve God. But be God. Be a person that glorifies God out of the abundance of your heart. Out of the very abundance of who you are. Amen. Then we see here again when the Bible says, again, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Just like I read this morning out of the Old Testament when we were there in Chronicles today, early this morning when we did that message, before Judah could ever go out to battle, they had to know who God was. before you and I, the fourth thing this evening, giving thanks, strengthens our trust in God. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. But trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then when we trust in God, not only that, but it strengthens our hearts and it strengthens our trust in God. When you look at this in the scripture, we can see in a couple of different places. And I really wanted to take the time to read this one because it was quite a bit lengthy in reading, but I felt like it was necessary to read it. It's in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 12, if you're writing these notes down. And this is a hymn of thanksgiving. When you go into Isaiah chapter number 12, verse number 1, this is what the Israel heard, the prophecy of Isaiah. He said, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, that though thou was angry with me, and thine anger is turned away, and thou conformest me." And then he says in verse number 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Look in verse 3. "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention of His name is exalted." Verse 5, "Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things that is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." In other words, when Isaiah wrote this, he wanted to do this one thing, that it would strengthen them. It's a hymn of thanksgiving, and it was assuring them that God is the God of salvation, and the more they trusted in Him, the more they realized that God would never leave them and God would never forsake them. So we see this in our Psalm 100 again. When you look at it, he says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." It is an enabling power that you and I put our total trust and confidence in Him. And friend, I come before you tonight in an experiential way. And the reason I say that is because most all of us in this room, we have a pretty good life. Let me just say it like that. But I seen some kids the other day. I put it on my Facebook page. They were in Zimbabwe or somewhere like that. I think it's where they were at. Somewhere in the African region. And these kids, Brother Chris, they had their microphones on a stick. And their microphones was a drink bottle that they stuck on the bottom of a stick. And they were singing praises unto God. My friend, I thought about that. How many of our kids today would do that? Sometimes perseverance, sometimes, and let me say it the way I feel it, sometimes if you and I have these troubled spots in our life, it's going to do one or two things. It's either going to make you and I stronger, or we're going to throw our hands up and we're going to quit. But James tells us that even when we trust God in perseverance, when we look at this in the scriptures, there's a couple of places that James mentions this. In James chapter 1, New Testament, when you look at this in James 1 and verse number 2, and I'll let Jan turn there real quick. This is what he says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Look in verse 3. And he says this, "Knowing this, know ye that the Lord, He is God." You've got to experience some things to know that when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And the only way that we will know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm not looking for adversity. I'll be the first one to tell you. We've all had our share. Come on, somebody. But even in the middle of the storm, even in the middle of adversity, my friend, we must put our trust and our confidence in Him. Again, James says this, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." My mama used to always say, "Don't pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. In your patience possess ye your soul." My mama used to quote that all the time. in your patience. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say wait. Sometimes we have to wait. We look at the scripture again. So giving thanks when we're in the midst of a storm. When we give thanks, it cultivates perseverance. Now, I would have to ask somebody that's a whole lot smarter than me. And I had a whole lot more time this week to look at this than I did. But the captain of the Mayflower that landed at the settlers, as we call them, the Pilgrims. One of the things that a commentary said that during the 66-day journey, the Mayflower, as they endured this journey, the ship's captain reminded them that they needed to be thankful unto God, and they set aside this one day a year as they give God thanks for them being able to be there and to be able to be safe at their journey. Now, off the note, I know a lot of them died after that due to disease, but God kept them even on their journey. So you and I know that God, we give God thanks because of His perseverance. The next thing is that giving God thanks prepares us for our future. Somebody says, well, I'm packing up my treasures in heaven. I've got my treasures stored up in heaven. The Bible talks about the wells of salvation. My friend, when I begin to think about this earlier, and I was processing this in my own heart, giving God praise prepares me for my future. There's not one person in this room, myself included, know what tomorrow is going to hold. But it might be because of your experience with God today that's going to get you through tomorrow. I remember thinking about this. I remember the scripture of how that Mary, y'all know Mary. Mary was the virgin mother of Jesus. As Amy said, Mary, did you know? And as Mary had the angel come to her and the angel told her to fear not, that is conceived, is she told Joseph, that is conceived within you is by the Holy Ghost. So she had to be trusting God and giving thanks unto the Lord. Luke chapter 1 is actually a reflection of that. When you look in Luke 1 in verse 46, and Jan can put it up there, when you begin to look at this scripture, this is what it says there. Luke 1 and 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. When we think about thanksgiving, again, going back to the psalm for just a minute, serve the Lord with gladness. Something in Mary's life had to know that I don't understand what I'm going through, but I'm going to serve Him today. Serve the Lord with gladness. Then he says, again, when you look at this scripture, as Mary was doing this in Luke 1 and 47, go back to there for just a second. This is what it says there. Luke 1 and 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Again, when you think about your future, when you think about how God, again, prepares us today for our future. Mary had many challenges within herself, but becoming the mother of Jesus, but her thankfulness to God prepared her for the days ahead. You and I today, none of us know what lies ahead, but I'm going to take the opportunity to thank God today and to glorify Him and to magnify Him today while I have my being, I will bless His name. My experience with Him today prepares me for tomorrow. Again, when you look at Mary, verse 48 and 49 and 50, this is what she says in 48. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. 49. And then he says, For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. One more verse. We see this, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. So thanksgiving and his mercy, my friend, it moves from generation to generation. Again, when you look at the scripture that we read unto you, he teaches us, know ye that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Being thankful unto God, and I've mentioned this so many times, so many times. We are the sheep of His pasture. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and the stranger they will not follow." David in Psalm 23, we're not going to turn there. I've preached that many times before. David was able to say that the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that tonight? That He's my shepherd. He's the one that's looking over me. He's the one that's taking care of me. Amen. Come on, somebody. When we think about this, it was the assurance that God has everything in control. This is one of the things that was said. Giving thanks chases away anxiety. I've said that so many times over the last few weeks that so many people, everywhere you turn today, so much anxiety, so much trouble. And somebody says, "I'm going through trouble right now, Pastor. We're not getting along and we're having troubles and all these other things." Cast all your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. And my friend, the Bible assures us that we can do that. We're His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. Be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. Again, when you look in the scripture in the book of Philippians chapter 4, you know the scripture as well as I do. Philippians 4 verses 4 through 7 says this. When you look in verse number 4, we open this up. Where again that Paul was expressing his praise and his thanksgiving unto God. Philippians 4 and verse 4. We'll get it. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." One writer was saying, on a good day and a bad day, rejoice. Whatever season of your life, be thankful unto Him. God's been good to us, folks. Verse 5 says this in the Word. He says again, in verse 5, "Let your moderation be known." I guess the word that I looked that up in, it is your moderation. I guess you have to look that up in a deeper Greek understanding. What does that mean? It's your how you handle your conduct, how you are. Let your moderation, let yourself just be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Then verse 6. He says this, "Be careful for nothing." That's another one of them odd words, ain't it? Don't be anxious for anything. The Lord is my shepherd. If God's taking care of me and if I'm His sheep, if I'm in His hand, Brother Charles, I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. You know, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication." Prayer, pray about it. Seek God about it. He said, "With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." The Bible reminds us that we're to seek the Lord. And then he says, giving thanks chases away anxiety. When we do this, gratefulness sets the atmosphere of how we face each new day based on all God has given us, rather than being tossed to and fro in the uncertainties of life. And then we see again, the next thing is giving thanks readies us to face tomorrow. Again, Matthew, and you don't need to turn there necessarily, but Matthew 6 and 34, it says this. Being thankful readies us to face our tomorrows. Matthew 6 actually says, "Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Oh yes, we're going to face an evil day to tomorrow. But again, David reminded us, give us this day our daily bread. As the Jesus taught the disciples, and he taught them that in Matthew chapter number 6. As he done the Lord's prayer, "The Lord is my shepherd." Again, he says again, "Take no thought for tomorrow." When we are thankful unto God, again, it faces us for our tomorrows. Even though tomorrows will have its challenges, yet we understand, as did the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and 28. And we know this scripture, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. So we be thankful. And then another thing is, giving thanks to God brings victory in our life. Giving thanks to God brings victory in our life. Amen. When you look in the scripture, it says this in Let me give it to you so you can see it. It says it here in 1 Corinthians 5, 15 and 57. It says these words. He says, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. God's already given us the victory. I don't think we get that most of the time. We're already victorious people. Amen. As God's people, as Christians. Somebody says, we win. We've already read the back of the book. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 is what he says. Giving thanks to God brings victory to us. And then we look back at this text for just a minute. When you look back into this text, he teaches us several things about this. In verse number four, he says, enter into his gates. I read this a couple of weeks ago, or I mentioned it just in passing. Enter into his gates. I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about the tone of our services. I begin to think about the atmosphere of our services. And don't get mad at the preacher, because most people only want the preacher to preach to them for about 40 minutes or less. Get up and go home. Okay? That's what we basically want in a church service. But I want to go beyond that. Because I believe that God wants to do miracles in our midst. I believe that God, oftentimes we say we're waiting on God to move. No, God's waiting on us to move. Well, somebody says, well, I'll do it when I feel like it. You may never feel like it. And look at everything you're going to miss out on if you don't start glorifying God. And if I don't start glorifying Him. In this psalm, he says, I will enter into the gate. Now again, if you know the tabernacle and the layout of the tabernacle, there was the outer court, the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. At the very opening of the gate, it was a time where they would reposition their thinking, if you will, or they would reposition themselves as all the ones going through the gates, as they carried the banners, as they worship God, they would glorify Him as they come into His house. What would it be like if we really, really believe this? If we really believe that you and I together could change the atmosphere of any service that we're ever in. And God again says to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And then He says into His courts with praise. And be thankful unto Him. And bless His name. I said this morning. I wanted to say it again tonight. And Penny, you can come. What if you had tomorrow only what you thanked God for today? Think about that. What if you had tomorrow only what you thanked God for today? So we thank God for His provision. God supplies the need. My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So when we enter into His courts and we enter into His gates, the Bible says to be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? He goes back again in the latter part of verse 5. As I said, or the first part of verse 5, what I've mentioned in Psalm 107 and Psalm 102, Psalm 92, and the other Psalms that I've read to you. He says, why do we do this? Because God is good. God's been good. Amen? If you go back and you read a lot of these Psalms are songs of praise because of what God did. As God brought them through and out of bondage to Pharaoh. And they put these words to songs and they would sing them in the tabernacle. They would sing them as an orator, an oration unto God. They would glorify God's name. And then they would reflect upon how good God has been. As we go through the rest of this week, all the way into Thanksgiving, even though the United States of America seems to be in a whirlwind, sometimes we think about a storm And we don't like storms, but sometimes, I seen this a few weeks ago, sometimes a storm will come just to clear the way for what is to come. Jesus is coming. He's coming again. He is on His way, folks. And then He says, the Lord is good, His mercy. His mercy is everlasting. And I know we've talked a lot about mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we truly do deserve. His mercy. His mercy again endures through all generations. I'm going to go back and I'm going to go back to a scripture that I read right in the very beginning. It's there in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5 and verse number 18, I believe it is. And this again is what he says there. Y'all have to forgive my old ratty piece of paper. I done these notes as I was sitting there with my dad. I didn't even have my notebook with me. I didn't think I was going to need it, and I did need it. But this is what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 18. He says this in the Word, in everything give thanks. You say, well, preacher, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. What have I got to thank God for? If we would just stop and think long enough, my friend, we got plenty to thank God for. Hey, one of the things I thank God for this evening, as bad and as crazy as it seems like in America right now, Sister Betty, we got the freedom of worship. We can come together in an assembly like this, and ain't nobody can do anything about it. You say, well, what's the future hold? I have no idea. China, they have to go underground. You get killed, your throat get cut if you're in Saudi Arabia and they catch you with a Bible. So we ought to celebrate. We ought to celebrate and be thankful for what God has done. Well, I want you to stand with me. I could ramble. I'm not going to ramble. I'm not going to do that to you tonight. Any time a preacher starts rambling, he needs to quit. I need to quit. But I want you to reflect upon something with me. I want you to reflect upon this. I want you to think to yourself, and this is going to be a spiritual exercise, okay? This is a spiritual exercise right now of thankfulness unto God. I want you to go back in time. Go back in time, okay? Somewhere in your life this evening, you got saved. Probably everybody in this room that's saved would look at Pastor Green and say, let me tell you what happened when I was. And you could tell me the story. Somebody says, well, Pastor, I don't have a story like that. I don't know where that happened at. Friend, you're not ready for heaven. You're not ready for the rapture. If you cannot remember that experience in your life, of all things you do this Thanksgiving, you got to know that you're saved. You got to know that your heart is right with God. No matter what's going on, you got to know your heart's right. Amen. I've often told Sherry, I said, hey, I'm not going to die a rich man. I ain't even worried about that. I ain't even worried about that. I said, but I do want to die with my integrity, and I do want to die loving Jesus. Come on, somebody. And that's all that matters, Jan. That's all that matters, is that we know Jesus in our heart. So the spiritual exercise is for you and I to think back. Think back to the place you were at when you asked Jesus into your heart and thank Him for it. And if you're here tonight and you've never gotten saved, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, meet me here this evening right here. I want to pray with you. And I would assume that everybody in the room is saved, but my assumption, I have no right to assume that. I have no right at all to assume that. But you know what? God can save you tonight. God can change you tonight. God can turn your life around. Amen. Let's pray. Jan's prayer tonight. for her eyes, her eyesight tonight. God can heal it. Stretch your hand this way and let's pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just take a minute and thank Him. Father, we thank You, God, tonight at this Thanksgiving time. Lord, we thank You for our salvation. We thank You, God, for saving us. We thank You, God, for reaching down when we could not do anything for ourselves. The only thing we could do is say, yes, Lord, here I am. Just like Isaiah. Here I am, Lord, here I am. And Father, I pray, God, that You'd touch people in this room tonight. People that's lost their joy, people that's lost their focus, people that's lost their love one for another. God, would You restore that love tonight, God? Would You restore families tonight, God? Would You help families tonight, God, that's in this church, God? Lord, situations that's way beyond my control. God, would You do a mighty work, God, in Jesus' name. Father, we love You tonight. God, we honor You tonight. And we thank You, God, well in advance for all Your mercy and Your grace and Your goodness upon us, Father. God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great night. We'll see you, Lord willing, on Wednesday evening.